I found out where the when and where the clandestine room sales are going to be. The secret sales that happen at Celebration every time.
What is that?
It's where a bunch of people kind of bring
Don't we
a lot
live
of their
close
own
enough?
stuff to sell, and they do it like in a hotel room at a nearby hotel. They just set up like tables and tables of shit.
They're gonna steal your kidney, Randy.
Dude, I don't fucking care. They can
You can
have
get
all of my
rolled.
spare parts. But if I can get some
They're right there.
sweet Vader stuff that I don't already have, I will do whatever is necessary.
I don't think it's legit. I think it's they want people with all that cash they bring to the room and they just steal your money.
Yeah, bring traveler's
See,
checks.
that's why the three of us have to go together,
I ain't
safety in
going to no
numbers.
secrets party where I gotta get naked.
Dude, it's gonna
Look at my sweet ass, Randy. They'll pass me around like
it's gonna be like
currency.
Eyes Wide Shut. We
Oh, can
gotta
I? I want
have
a
a
mask.
password. Yeah.
Fidelio.
There's gonna be weird chanting and big nose masks and a lot of fucking.
You guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, geeks of all ages, welcome to the Geek Legacy Podcast. I'm Justin Cavender, and with me as always is Amanda, David, and Randy. How are you three doing today?
Good.
Awesome.
So much better now that I bailed out before Harrison Ford had a chance to crash his plane with me still in it.
Dang, Randy.
Don't pretend. You would have dreamed to have died in a plane crash with Indiana Jones / Han Solo.
Yes. Are you kidding? I would have been the one to orchestrate said plane crash if I ever had the opportunity to get into a plane with him, just so we can die together.
Randy, if I were a kid with cancer, that would be my make-a-wish.
Seriously.
Wow.
I will go out and get cancer just so I can make that wish. No. Edit that out.
I take that back.
Yeah. No, it's recorded for Paul's posterity.
Yes,
no,
that's the opening. Let the record show that episode 136.
Let's redact that statement.
Nope.
That's the bumper.
We redact nothing. This is motherfucking 2015, and we are not censoring ourselves. This is
all right,
the year
I like it.
Where we say what we're really thinking and get...
Stop being polite and start getting real.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we'll start video streaming on Google, and we'll have our balls out, and everything's going to be great. We're not censoring ourselves at all this year.
I am trimmed right now. I did some manscaping.
Did you now?
Looking good.
David and I didn't get pictures.
Oh, that's true.
Screenshot didn't happen.
I stopped doing that. I don't... there's too many pictures of me out there. I don't like it.
They all have their own Twitter account at this point.
Yeah.
Make them nervous. Anyway, so let's get this party started, shall we? Harrison Ford. We all know him as an amazing starfighter pilot, and it was due to his excellent flying skills that he was able to land on a golf course and not kill any people or destroy any houses. That's what you're telling me.
He's a hero.
He is. National treasure.
Goddamn like, hero.
After Nimoy, it's a little too close for geek comfort.
I know. That was terrifying.
We couldn't lose Spock and Han Solo in the same week.
Did you see the badass plane that he crashed too? It was like World War II vintage. It was pretty
all
cool.
I know is it was yellow. That's all I know.
It was yellow and like silver. And there was a photo of him, and I don't remember who had it. I think it was TMZ, that had been taken at an airport the previous week when he was going out flying, and he was getting ready to take off. And get this, I mean, he was wearing the leather flight cap with the goggles. I couldn't tell if he was wearing a silk scarf, but if he was, it would have been straight out of, like, I don't know. It would have looked more like the Red Baron than Han Solo. But it was so cool, just the old-timey flight gear that he was wearing, which I have to say probably didn't offer much protection if he was wearing that same getup when the crash happened last week.
I like that all like the officials from like Los Angeles couldn't, because they don't release the identity, but we all knew it was Harrison Ford, and so they had to say like a 70-year-old male and this and that. It's kind of funny. Wait, good luck for him crash landing with a bunch of doctors.
Yeah, one of those all the gin joints in all the world kind of deals.
But you have to imagine, and this is nothing against golfers, but they generally tend to be a little bit more affluent. And in the middle of the day, in the middle of the week, who would you expect to find on a golf course? Probably lawyers and golfers, lawyers and doctors. So Harrison Ford is covered on both fronts. We're making light of it, but I am so thankful that nothing more serious happened to him. I heard he got a pretty good gash on his head, and there are reports of a flap of skin possibly being missing. And yeah, being that there have been no photos immediately after the crash or even since then of his condition or anything, that leads me to believe that maybe he might have to take on a slightly different appearance next time we see him on screen. So, I mean, I think it would be kind of perfect, though, if he ends up doing Blade Runner 2. To be just kind of all gnarled and grizzled. And I mean, obviously the old part is already set in stone, but just for his look, you could achieve some pretty wicked stuff without even using makeup on that guy now.
Have any fans donated skin for his face?
I don't know, but I have excess skin, I would donate it. I don't know. How do you determine what's
a
match?
They probably just took a swatch off the leather jacket he was wearing.
He's a little leathery, Dave.
This is true.
So, Marvel, they're not going to San Diego Comic-Con.
Blah, 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 blah.
I know. They're like, you know what? There's a bunch of fucking DC and Warner Brothers signs all over the goddamn place. And I want to place a bet that one of these days it's going to be called Warner Brothers Comic-Con, because all you see there is nothing but Warner Brothers shit plastered all over the goddamn place. I say that Marvel feels unwelcome. Yeah, they have their own little thing with Disney and what is it called? The D23 convention?
D23.
Yeah, D23.
Yeah, that's just an excuse.
Well, I got to think Marvel will still send every wing except for the
movie stuff.
The movies. Yeah. I mean, because they don't need to. I mean, because in 2005, they took Iron Man and they kind of started this revolution over the last 10 years. Randy and I went to Comic-Con in 2004, the year before Iron Man showed its stuff. We got our tickets like a week before the event, and we walked into Hall H 5 minutes before the panel we wanted to watch.
Yeah,
and it was like
a
the
Star
reveal
Wars
of Episode 3. Yeah,
yeah.
It was a whole Star Wars panel.
Mm-hmm. It was insane. There's no way you would be able to do that without waiting for like 12 hours at least to get in these days.
Right.
It's yeah. Crazy.
And I think we're going to see this happening a lot more. So I mean, remember last year Disney wasn't there at all, and you know they could have pimped out Star Wars or a bunch of other stuff. Universal was barely there. You know, they didn't even have anything Jurassic World related except for that car. And you know, with Marvel bowing out this year, I think that a lot of the movie studios are going to bow out, because I think TV's the new hotness at Comic-Con right now. The Walking Dead, you know, Game of Thrones, you know, and even, you know, the WB shows, you know, Flash, Arrow, you know, those are the big hitters now at Comic-Con. And, mm-hmm. you know,
that's what I'm saying. CW,
yeah,
really they got
that
shit on lockdown. Yeah. CW,
I mean,
Warner Brothers, all that crap. It's all you see. It's flooding Comic-Con. Everyone's got a backpack that has Arrow's face on it, Flash's face on it, Batman's face on it.
Yeah, I guess the rumor was last year that Marvel wanted to end their panel with announcing Joaquin Phoenix as Doctor Strange, and they were going to have him walk out, and it was going to be a big hubbubaloo. That was going to be their big finish. But when that didn't happen, their presentation just kind of fell flat. And so they probably said, screw you guys, we'll just release this shit online. I mean, they realized that people know who they are. They know what they're going to get with them. I mean, Marvel didn't even have a Super Bowl ad this year. I mean, yeah, Avengers released their Super Bowl ad a week ahead of time and didn't even air during the show.
It's cheaper.
Yeah, exactly. I think Marvel's at the point now to where they're like, we don't need to pay all this money. Especially because you can't really quantify results through Comic-Con, you know. I mean, we've all been there. I mean, these studios pay millions of dollars to throw these lavish parties and fly everybody and their mother out and have these big presentations, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They probably realize, hey, we can keep that couple million and pay for Downey Jr.'s hooker fund.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's expensive. The man has taste.
yeah. So, speaking of hooker funds and Robert Downey Jr., what do you think of the new Age of Ultron trailer? Did you guys
awesome.
Like? That's good stuff. Everybody saw it, right? No?
Yes. Yeah. Action-packed.
Yeah.
Looks fun. With every subsequent trailer, I get more excited to see it. And that is exactly what they should be doing with those trailers.
Exciting you?
Yes. Titillating me.
Yeah.
Tantalizing me. Taunting me. Teasing me.
I don't think I like the... Okay, well, it's not fair to say that I don't like, but the Quicksilver, I'm not impressed. I like Quicksilver from...
X-Men?
Yeah, X-Men. Well, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, because you've been spoiled.
I know. That's why I said it's not fair, but from what I see in this trailer, I don't like it.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Kick-Ass, but, you know, he's fine.
You know, he looks different in every movie, too. I always forget that that's the guy.
And like, from Godzilla?
Yeah.
The hair. He always has different hair.
Yeah. Is that Aaron Taylor-Johnson? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah. I always forget that that's him when I watch Godzilla. I'm like, where do I know this fucker from? He had the worst hair ever in Kick-Ass.
He does.
Oh, my God. It's awful.
I think it was supposed to be bad.
I know, but it's distractingly bad.
Like, how does it fit under his hood?
Yeah, I don't like it. Yeah, he should have bumps all over his little mask. That'd be terrible. But I like all the superhero action, though. It looks good.
Yeah, I'm just so amped for Civil War that, like, I'm already looking like two Marvel movies in the future. Like, I mean, Ant-Man doesn't even really exist in anyone's eyes. I mean, we'll all see it, but it's kind of like this, like, curiosity at this point. And what should be their huge movie, Avengers 2, I'm less excited about than Civil War. And so I have this weird disconnect when it comes to Age of Ultron. You know, I'll see it, obviously. Everyone's going to see it. But I'm more interested to see how it affects Civil War, to where in past iterations it's, how is Thor 2 going to affect Avengers? How's Iron Man 3 going to affect Avengers? And now how's Avengers going to affect Civil War?
Do you think that is a negative side effect or byproduct of the fact that they've set out this gigantic timetable stretching out for what feels like the next two decades?
I would 100% say that that's accurate.
You don't think you're in the minority?
You're not more excited for Civil War than you are for Avengers 2?
Well, I am, but everyone knows. But either way, we're two assholes when there's 11 billion people on the planet.
Right. It's like, yeah, you know what? If I'm 100% excited for Civil War, I'm like 95% excited for Avengers. It's not like I'm talking like Avengers. I'm down on Avengers 2 because Civil War is going to be so awesome. There's just so many factors to Civil War that excite me more. You know, the Russo brothers just destroyed it with Winter Soldier, and I can't wait to see what they do with, like, a larger canvas and more characters. And the fact, I mean, even before they announced Spider-Man was going to play a part, you know, I was excited for it. And I don't know, Justin, if we're in the minority. I mean, maybe we can ask Randy and Amanda, you know, if they care. What would you say, Randy? Or would you say are you more excited for Avengers 2 or Civil War?
Well, I think I'm actually going to side with you on this. Here's the thing. We know quite a bit about Age of Ultron already because there's a lot of material out there for it. You know, we've seen footage, we've seen trailers, all that stuff. We feel like we already know a lot of what happens, but there's still so much that we don't know about how they're going to be treating Civil War that it is more intriguing and therefore it's more top of mind. But the analogy that I was going to make earlier when you're talking about your excitement level was like, we could get excited about Easter, which is right around the corner, but I'm more excited for Christmas, even though it's further away.
Right, and that's a good thing. I mean, it may come up with something that Justin said earlier about Hawkeye.
Nobody's excited about Easter. Come on, Randy.
What hey, I think chocolate eggs. Is Civil War is like the cool Avengers. It's Captain America, Iron Man, Spider-Man, and what looks to be a pretty awesome Black Panther. And, you know, we're not getting lame Hawkeye. You know, we're not getting an overabundance of Hulk. It's just kind of like the people that we really want to see. So maybe it's a less diluted version of the team.
I bet Hawkeye's going to show up in Civil War.
Yeah,
I'm not really up to date on anything with Civil War. That's supposed to be the next Avengers movie, right?
That's the next Captain America movie.
Okay, got it.
It's the movie after.
I'd be more excited to see the next Captain America movie anyway, just because I like the Captain America movies.
Well, there you go. So let's cancel Age of Ultron and just go straight to Captain America.
I also like the standalone movies a little bit better because we get to spend more time with the heroes,
right,
instead of everyone kind of, yeah, instead of everyone sort of fighting with each other for screen time.
Yeah, and they're literally fighting each other on screen. The bickering. Yeah. bickering is
not fun.
Yeah.
God, there better not be any bickering. And I mean, that's a useless hope, but I really don't want any bickering between them in Age of Ultron because I don't have patience for it. They're supposed to be all on the same side now.
No.
Yeah. He doesn't have any superpowers. I mean,
because he complained about not doing enough in the last movie. They're gonna be like, Joss Whedon's gonna be like, "Fuck you, man! I'm gonna kill you then."
But his poster's different. Everyone else has a poster of like this one specific action sequence, and his poster is from what looks to be an action sequence earlier on in the film.
Oh, he
so
dies.
It's just kind of weird. I'm like, maybe he dies in this movie.
He doesn't do anything.
Speaking of really cool stuff, Dave, how about this Ghostbusters cinematic universe? Dan Aykroyd's baby might actually come to life, and we have another Ghostbusters movie that's not an all-female cast because people like Randy hate females and don't want to see them with proton packs on their back.
I don't hate them.
I'm kidding.
Why do you hate girls? That was a kind of interesting development.
Don't even let him defend himself. You know,
oh, I was going to, but it was going to be completely filthy. Randy hates women. It would have set things back way beyond repair.
If Randy had his way, the Ghostbusters would all just be the cooks in the kitchen for the real Ghostbusters. And that's awful, Randy. We don't support that kind of misogyny here.
Mm-mm.
I'm just saying it's a great idea for a porn parody.
Oh.
They get the polished proton packs? The triple P?
The proton packs have a slightly different usage in that version.
Bizarre insertions.
Yes.
Part 12.
But they still make that cool charging up sound.
I like that sound.
I love that sound.
When they turn them on? Yeah. That is cool.
Yeah.
I blame myself.
Yeah.
So these Ghostbusters. So we all know that we're going to have the female Ghostbusters with Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig. And there's been a lot of backlash from people who, for some reason, don't think that women can be funny because they're all assholes.
Ugh, things have died of fire.
Probably four of the funniest women out there. I've actually been watching the other two that are Saturday Night Live vets, watching some of their Saturday Night Live skits, and they're actually pretty funny. I laughed quite a bit. But I guess, I don't know if it's Sony kind of playing towards them or trying to play it safe, but rumor is that they're also planning a all-male Ghostbusters and that Channing Tatum and Chris Pratt would be the leads in the film. You know, again, this is all rumors. No one has signed on to do anything. And that the Russo brothers, the directors of Winter Soldier and the upcoming Civil War that we're all so excited about, would direct it. And so we would have the female Ghostbusters, the male Ghostbusters. Then we would get a third movie, which would be a teaming of the two teams, the female and the male teams. And then we'd also get a fourth Ghostbusters movie, which would be a prequel. No word on if the prequel would center around the men or the women or whichever one was more popular. But we would get four Ghostbusters movies over the course of the next, you know, 6 or 7 years. And Randy, what do you think about that? I mean, other than women suck.
You stop putting words in my mouth.
And put a proton pack instead.
Yeah, and turn it on full blast. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it. I love the Ghostbusters and. You know, as much as we may have doubted the feasibility or popularity of an all-female cast, I was still ready to get behind it just because of the fact that that's one of those franchises that I've loved since childhood and I have a certain sense of unconditional affection toward it. So I will absolutely see all of those movies more than likely opening day. And I mean, unless the first couple tank, then I guess I'll give up on it. But if they do, then they probably won't continue making any more. But I like the idea that they have big plans. I like the big ambitions for it. I say go for it.
Nice.
They get my stamp of approval.
Being the female voice of reason, is this borderline offensive that it almost seems like Sony's making like contingency plans already, like preparing for the all female cast to fail?
Well. I don't know. It makes sense that they would still do a male all male version, just because that's what the original franchise was, but it also makes sense for them to do a female version because the original Ghostbusters were all comedians, so why not have a female-led comedian cast, especially with movies like Bridesmaids doing so well and Kristen Wiig's at the top of her game. Like, I don't see why she wouldn't want to capitalize on being at the top of the heap right now.
Yeah, I think it would be great. Okay.
But I do definitely see your point about, like, are they just setting them up to fail? Because then it's like, if they do the all-female cast one first and doesn't do well, then that would just give more fuel to the douchebags out there who say that women aren't funny.
It could kill the franchise to where I don't think the girl one will bomb, but if the girl one were to be a failure, they could always say, well, there's another one coming out that'll be better.
Right, and see, I think with a movie like this, they could have, you know, taken the time to figure out their script just well and dandy. I think the female Ghostbusters is getting fast-tracked anyway. Like, we're going to see this sooner than we think. And I think that there would have been no harm, and it probably would have been a classier thing to do to wait until after it was released to announce the male version.
Right, and for all we know, that may have been their plans. Like, they may have been planning to release this information at a later date, you know, once they had, you know, some of these actors pinned down.
There's just no secrets in Hollywood.
There really isn't.
Do you think that's a problem? Do you think that rumors ruin things? Or leaks?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Leaks totally ruin our entertainment,
so,
don't you think?
I'd say sometimes.
But then also, because of that, because the stuff leaks constantly, the studios react to public interaction on like the internet. But when that's like the worst, that's the worst forum to listen to.
Right.
Because people on the internet are idiots. Like, all you hear are the vocal minority. You don't like get a real sense of how people in general feel about a thing. So
yeah, and I think that we're real entrenched in it as well because, you know, it's kind of what we do. But I bet that if you went and asked 9 of your friends, they would have no idea about most of the leaks.
They probably
and the
hadn't even heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's why they listen.
I mean,
unless
you're like a diehard fan of some of like Star Wars, they may know Star Wars.
That's why they listen to our show to get all the insight.
That's right.
We're very big in Samaria, Dave.
Where?
But I mean, take the Tomorrowland trailer. You know, this is a big budget, huge movie that we've seen a trailer, a teaser, and 2 TV spots, and we still really don't have a very clear picture of what the hell this movie's about. And I really like the way that Disney and Brad Bird and Lindelof and Clooney and all them are going about, like, you know, doing press and marketing this film, in that they're showing us enough to get us excited and think, like, wow, this movie looks like it's pretty fucking cool, without
but not
spoiling
their load.
Right, like, Disney's other studio, you know, they do Marvel, and they're notorious for showing like half of the third act in their trailers sometimes. You know, if you go back to the Avengers trailer we're talking about, there's a significant portion of that movie that looks like it's from like the final fight in that movie. And, you know, we really basically know everything that happens in that movie based off the trailer. And so I like how they're doing it with Tomorrowland.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me.
Well, there you go. I liked.
What did you think of it?
I liked an end of on July 2nd. They arrived on July 3rd. They attacked on July 4th. Our Independence Day, the day we fought back. That was my favorite trailer ever.
That's like a perfect teaser. I remember talking to people about the Independence. See this movie about like. We get attacked, and then we attack back, and it's like fire and stuff.
Yeah.
I remember my buddy was looking at me like I was fucking crazy.
Did we even know
like,
it was about aliens?
Because you saw like
the moon.
You could infer it because you see like the shade, like the, not the shade.
The ship
I
above
guess the
shade,
building. The shadow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was good. That's a trailer.
Yeah. That's why I made $1 trillion. He's going to have a sequel without Will Smith.
I even like the Transformers teaser where it was like a Mars rover or something. And then there, all of a sudden there was a Decepticon that destroyed the
oh, yeah.
camera. That I remember was that. Cool.
That wasn't even the movie, right?
No, it was just a little
teaser. That was just a little thing that came up with.
Yeah.
Like, hey, check this shit out.
Yeah, with Michael Bay just saying like, hey, I'm going to break shit on Mars. Mm-hmm. Tired of blowing shit up on Earth.
Why you guys keep sending these fucking robots our way?
Welcome to Earth.
Oh, yeah, I don't like that. That's bad. Anyway, Ghostbusters. Love it or hate it?
Yay.
Coming. We like
it. I don't care.
Yeah. Who are you going to call? The Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters.
The dude Ghostbusters.
That's one word, you know, Ghostbusters.
Do some people argue that it's not?
I don't know. It's just... It's one word.
It's the name of their company. Some people would have hyphenated, but not Spangler.
Those people are stupid.
Yeah, like the people that did Tomorrowland. Dave is all about that trailer. I don't get it.
It's my second most anticipated movie of the year after Star Wars
and Avengers.
No, Avengers is third.
No, I'm just kidding. After Chappie.
I can't wait for Insurgents.
Are you fucking serious?
I just want to see Theo James without a shirt on again.
I've never been more confused by trailers and teasers and TV spots and marketing ever in my life.
Than with that movie franchise?
I realize I haven't read the books. But I mean, you have to realize a lot of people haven't read the books. And those trailers don't make any goddamn sense. Like, I've even started putting my posts like, I don't even know what's going on here. I mean, it looks kind of cool and it's like flashy, but like half of it's like dream sequences. Like, it all started with the teaser they played before Hunger Games, and it was it was Divergent Girl, and she was running towards Diane Lane. There you go. And she was running towards her in like this like spinning rectangle room, and then the next trailer had her like hooked up to these like Matrix style machines, and then she like pixelated. I don't know.
Go to geekalicious.com
and type in Insurgent and watch the trailers and email me if I'm crazy.
I can't help you. I didn't read any of them after the first book because I was like, I'm done. This doesn't interest me enough to keep going.
Did you get far enough to understand why it's important that she's an insurgent? I don't even know why we care that they're different. Is it just because she's different?
No, it's important because she can't be mind controlled.
No.
There's a whole thing about mind control in their society.
Yeah, I saw in the first movie where like all the
the
parkour guys.
So it's not like
Dauntless.
It's not like she's right? special Dauntless. Because she's special. She does have some sort of like genetic immunity to being mind controlled, which is important.
Immunity.
Anyway.
It's just been revoked. I heard that, Dave.
I think I'm on like a delay here.
I didn't get it. Sorry. What's that from? Okay.
Lethal Weapon 2.
Oh, I haven't seen Lethal Weapon 2.
I saw it at the drive-in so many years ago. That was back when Mel Gibson was... It was okay to like Mel Gibson. Rather.
Yeah. It was okay for a while. It was okay pre-Passion of the Christ.
Oh, yeah.
And beating up his girlfriend, and
even wasn't his first of many outbreaks before Passion of the Christ, and that kind of sort of redeemed him a little bit, and then he just went downhill from there.
I think
that was like in 2004.
When was I think there were little like inklings that he was nutso, but I don't think anything like his DUI obviously, and all of his just hate speech that was all after Passion, because he owned this town.
Because of that, the rails. Yeah, because of that demand, I now use the phrase sugar tits as often as possible, which is pretty much never, but it makes me chuckle every time I think it.
Terrible. It's those Aussies, man. They got something to screw with their head. Look at Russell Crowe.
Well, they come
They're pretty misogynistic.
Speaking of Aussies, I saw 10 Things I Hate About You was on the other day, and I watched it, and I was sad that Heath Ledger was dead.
Oh.
That having been said, we don't immediately judge any of our Aussie listeners. We welcome you, we appreciate you, and we don't cast the blanket statement that you're all misogynists.
I don't think they have electricity in
the back. Yeah, Randy, don't be defending people just because you hate women.
Yeah. He loves kangaroos, though.
He's not, like, rising to
like debate. Kangaroo Jack with Anthony Anderson?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
And that O'Connell?
Jeremy, that O'Connell?
There's two of them. They were both on Sliders, right?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
That was a good show. That had your buddy. That had John Rhys Davies in it.
Mm-hmm.
He's funny. I like him in those Indiana Jones movies.
That was one of the first series I just binge-watched the crap out of when streaming was kind of new. I remember that being like one of the first series that I saw on there going, ooh, I hadn't seen that since I was like a kid.
Yeah, does it hold up?
It was entertaining. It was one of those things that I ended up having on in the background while I was working on something else more often than not. So I didn't give it the full attention it probably deserved after like the first season. Then it kind of started getting old after a while.
He was a voice in Gargoyles, and I really liked that show.
Yeah, that's a good show.
Yeah, had a lot of voice talent.
Like, all the like everyone from Star Trek was in it too.
And they look like their characters too, or they look like the actors. It was weird. Like Riker looked like Riker. I was like, holy shit, dude! He played like Xanatos or something like that. I forget his name.
He was like bad guy.
Well, not really. He was just rich. He was like the Tony Stark of the gargoyle world. He's just kind of a
Michael
rich
Dorn was a gargoyle, right?
Maybe. I know Keith David was Goliath. He's got the coolest voice ever.
Wait, what else has Keith David done?
He's fucking in everything. Keith David is the man. Do you remember? Okay, Pitch Black. You saw that movie, right? He's the priest.
No.
Oh my god, son of a bitch. Have you seen
let me look him up on IMDb.
Have you seen any movie at all? He's in it.
You know what? I hate to break this to you, but I don't watch movies.
Oh my god. Have you seen any TV show? He's in that too. He fought Rowdy Roddy Piper for like 10 minutes in
They Live.
Oh my
god. It is arguably the best fight scene.
Wait, what's his name again?
Keith David.
You can't trust him with two first names.
You would know this guy as soon as you saw him.
He's in Platoon.
Oh, yeah, a long time ago.
Like, that's a random movie to pick him out
from.
This
is the one that showed up first on IMDb.
Yes.
I don't recognize him. I don't think I watch enough movies.
Oh, my God.
But I really enjoyed him as Goliath.
Yes, he is amazing. I love Gargoyles. That was on for... Is this still on? It was on Disney XD for a while. Like, replaying. Like, reruns and stuff. And I watched them all.
Oh, he's on that... He was on that show, Touch.
All right.
He's in there. Have you seen this something about it. Mary?
Yeah, he's Mary's stepfather.
Oh, okay.
He's Mary's stepfather and something about Mary? How'd you get the beans about the Franks?
Yeah, we say that on every podcast. How'd you get the beans about the Franks? Literally, we say that in every podcast. We probably cut it all the time, but it's spoken. Those words are spoken in every episode.
Okay.
And he's the one that said that. Highly quotable man. And he's got the coolest voice ever.
He does have a cool voice.
Mm-hmm. Gargoyles. They ought to make that a live-action movie. I'd watch that.
Oh, they should do live-action Gargoyles! And they can bring all those people back.
They're pretty old now.
Well, but I mean, at least for the voices of the Gargoyles.
That's true.
No problem. Riker doesn't look that old.
He's changed over the years.
I know he's gotten kind of, you know, he's gained a little
weight.
He's
gotten fat.
He looks like Michael McDonald. Fucking Kenny Rogers. He looks...
But! Keith David can still be Gargoyle.
That's true.
I don't think Keith David has ever said no to a part. His IMDb reads like someone who does not have an agent who says no.
Oh, someone needs to remake Gargoyles.
Do it.
I'm like really on into this now. I want to see
Gargoyles. The Breakfast
Is Gargoyles series. On Netflix?
I don't think so.
Darn.
And probably, you know what though? If it was on Disney XD, isn't Disney and Netflix... in 2016, isn't that the year where they finally go to bed together and, like, all this shit's going to be on Netflix?
I don't know.
That would be nice.
Yep.
Something about... Isn't it 2016? I don't know.
Yeah. It sounds right. Sounds like something that we put up there.
I bet you see a bunch of shit just flood the Netflix gate. You'll see all kinds of fun shows. I wish they would bring back those old cartoons like when we were kids. Like, or at least the ones that our parents watched that we got to watch.
Disney Afternoon?
Yeah. Like, I love those old Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse and Goofy cartoons. They're some of my favorites. But then, of course, the Tailspin, DuckTales, fucking Darkwing Duck.
Chippendale
Rescuers Down Under.
Yeah, well, Chippendale Rescue Rangers. Rescuers Down Under is a movie.
Oh wait, never mind. You're right. Sorry.
Yeah, new DuckTales. I don't know about. I want it on paper to be good, but I was thinking about it, and like what made DuckTales great was that it was like this like serious adventure pieces. like they went all over the world. And they had these crazy adventures and. It was such a nice art style, you know, the hand drawn animation, and you know they're gonna obviously, I'm sure they'll do computer animation for the remake, and I'm just afraid it'll lose some of its charm.
Yeah,
like it looked like a period piece, like even though it came out in the 80s, it looks like it could have been drawn in like the 50s, like at the Ink and Paint Club.
Yeah, I like the Ink and Paint Club.
Walt sent me.
What's happening, place? Ooga booga.
Playing that jazz.
Funny shit. Anyway, Tomorrowland. Probably going to suck. David's excited.
It looks cool.
Oh my god, it's going to be so good. Oh my god, May
22nd.
On May 25th, when we have a podcast, we're all going to be like, oh my god, that's the best movie ever.
It can't be better than Fast and Furious 17 or whatever they're on. 7. Furious 7.
Furious 7.
That's going to be...
That comes out in April, though.
Paul Walker is going to get May Best 20, Actor?
That comes out April 19th.
I know.
Best Actor.
Can't wait.
Hey, you're going to be out here when it comes out, Justin. We can see it together.
It comes out that day? On the 19th? Is that what you said?
It comes out the 19th when you're out. Yeah.
No, it comes out the 17th.
We can all see it together.
17th.
Well, it'll still be out.
Either way.
17th, the Wednesday?
17th.
Okay.
No.
Well, you'll be out on the 18th.
17th is a Friday. 16th is a Thursday.
Is it?
Yeah, what days are you saying? Oh. You're saying Furious 7 is going to come out on a Sunday? What are you saying?
No, it comes out on that Friday.
Oh.
Whatever the Friday is.
The 17th. I'm going to be doing Star Wars stuff. Here.
Yeah, but there's night stuff.
Moving on. Supergirl costume. Have we all seen it?
Mm-hmm.
Dumb.
You don't like it?
Yeah, it's all right. it looks like a TV show.
Yeah, it looks like a Supergirl costume.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I saw it, I thought, this looks like something they do for a TV show. And then I realized that's what it was.
I think we need to give her a chance because I think the costume, although it's not flashy, it's kind of muted in terms of the colors. I think it does what a Supergirl costume should. I think she looks fantastic in it. And I want to watch it before I tear it apart.
See, I hate anything. I don't like Superman. I don't like Supergirl, Superwoman, super anything. It's all stupid. I hate it.
So you're going into it with a big old
yes.
FU to them.
Well, to your point, Randy, I think even CBS is down on this show because they're already saying Superman's going to is going to be prevalent in the show. They've cast a Superman. If I were making a Supergirl show, I would want the focus to be on Supergirl. And then if ratings start to dip, you know, then you stunt cast and you bring in, you know, Superman or something like that. They're going to bring in Superman right off the bat. I mean, that just shows zero confidence in a female-led superhero show on CBS. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's insulting for females because the show is Supergirl. It's not Kryptonians Are Us. You know, they should let Supergirl try to stand on her own. And if it doesn't work, you know, through whatever happens, writers, directors, performance, whatever, you know, then make adjustments and tweaks. But you shouldn't go into the show before you've filmed a single frame and say, hey, we need Superman in the Supergirl show.
Right, you're setting yourself up for failure. And I think it's mirroring the exact same thing that's happening with the Ghostbusters franchise right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on one hand, I definitely don't think it needs it. But, I mean, what does that say about the confidence they have in the show if they're already – resorting to low rating stunts, you know, right from the get-go.
If I were the girl playing Supergirl, I'd be bummed because who are you gonna root for, Supergirl or Superman?
Are they related?
Yeah,
they're cousins.
They're cousins. Okay. Yeah.
It'd be cooler though if they weren't, and then you know there was like some tension, some you know a little bit of love interest and they going have on there.
Super sex. I think that
I was trying
to
avoid that, but that was what I was going for. Yeah.
I think that you're going to see the same thing when there is a Captain Marvel movie. You're going to see one of the Avengers, probably Captain America or somebody, show up in her movie.
Yeah. Or I think, well, yeah, or same thing. I think they'll test her in one of their movies. I bet that she shows up in Thor Ragnarok.
Mm-hmm.
We would have thought that she would have shown up in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, but James Gunn today said that no. Captain Marvel is not in the film. So, I mean, that only leaves a handful of Marvel movies to introduce her in. And the only one that really fits is either Age of Ultron, which I don't... They haven't announced they've cast a Captain Marvel, so unless they've kept casting, costuming, and shooting completely under wraps, you know, there's no way she's going to be in that movie. Ant-Man's a totally self-contained movie now. I don't think they're going to have any crossover with other movies. Civil War is already too crowded, and, you know, everything else isn't cosmic enough. And so the only one that really fits is Thor now.
Mm-hmm. Because she gets her powers from one of those Kree sons of bitches or whatever.
Right, which would have made it perfect to be in Guardians, because the Guardians of the Galaxy are the ones who introduced Kree. You know, Ronan the Accuser is, you know, a crazy Kree.
Right.
And would have been a nice fit, but...
They don't know anything over there at that Marvel Studios.
Yeah, I'm surprised they're still in business with their $1 billion movies.
Doesn't make sense. Making a Christmas movie, it's summertime.
That was so weird.
That was weird. It threw me off the whole time.
I was like, what the fuck?
It make enough sense.
I don't know why.
Yeah. You're a Christmas view, Zach. You're seeing snow, and it's fucking summertime. School is summertime. Making no sense.
You heard me. School is summertime.
You bitch. Anyway.
Fucking is.
Supergirl. I hate super anything. Superman, Supergirl, Superwoman, Mart. I don't care. I don't know.
Super Kmart.
So I'm a big pass. I'll watch it just so I can talk about it on the show, but it does not have the Cavender stamp of approval.
What if they did an Arrow crossover?
I'd watch it.
A CBS CW special presentation.
Well,
that would probably be a good way to like maybe introduce our characters.
I'm pretty sure CBS owns at least part of the CW. If not all of it. Look that up.
Well, CBS is Viacom and CW is Warner Brothers.
I think they're in bed together in some way. Wikipedia it.
Well, from a non-TV station point of view, I mean, it's DC and DC is essentially Warner Brothers, right?
Owner. CW Network LLC, joint venture owned by CBS Corporation and Warner Brothers.
Hmm.
Right. Well, and plus now we're going to have the Flash Arrow crossover series now. Okay. I like Brandon Roth, though. He was the best Superman.
I really like him as Superman, too, but I like him even more as Clark Kent. I thought he was hilarious.
I was bummed that he wasn't in any more Superman movies, because he totally did it for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what else does it for me?
Hmm.
Fucking the HBO standalone service for $15.
Yeah, that's kind of
finally.
Yes, we placed our bets saying that this shit would be ready to go by Game of Thrones, and we were correct.
Surprise, surprise.
I know, right?
With Game of Thrones, Veep, and Silicon Valley all in the same night.
Yeah, that's a lot of action. You know the first episode's going to suck a major penis, right? Nothing's going to happen.
What, Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
No, they got to come out swinging.
Nope, it's going to be boring.
No, they can't be boring.
It's going to be boring.
Last time in Westeros, Stannis did this. They did that. They did this. I think they're gonna set up a lot of Stannis shit, and we all know how interesting Stannis is. Making treaties with the wildlings. That's all I got out of the trailer with like the Jon Snow stuff. He's like, we gotta make friends with the wildlings. Oh yeah, that's great. I want to see like the wildlings and Stannis and Melisandre like sit down and like hash out their differences. Sounds like the opening crawl to episode one.
Mm-hmm. Something bad happens to Melisandre in this trailer because she's on the ground like crying.
Nothing bad should happen to my Melisandre.
It's like at the hold on, let me see here. It's like at the 125. Yeah, 125 mark of the trailer. She's like on the ground on the like really upset.
Well, I hope she's okay.
She does not look okay. She looks very sad. Like maybe someone put out her fire.
If Stannis broke her heart, I will end him.
Hmm.
I will end the Baratheon line.
I'm okay with that.
I'd rather end the Targaryen line with Daenerys, but you know, that's neither here nor there. Mm. The trailer sure makes her look exciting, though. Trailer makes Daenerys look pretty exciting.
I know.
I would actually agree with that.
I know. It's so stupid. So yeah, HBO, standalone, $15. That's not bad. I'm ready for this.
Reeling us in.
So what Randy's top 10 list is about this week? What do you got for us?
Hey, this one's a fun one. This is 10 ridiculous movie sets created for a single scene.
I like how you always preface your lists with, I got a fun one this week, as if like they're all the rest were terrible. Like, oh, don't worry, this is the week I make up.
every once in a while I can hear your guys' eyes rolling back in your skull. And I can just tell from the crickets and how fast I get through the list. I'm like, well, that was a shit list. I'll have to come up with a better one next week.
That's not true. That's not true, Randy, because I literally have to mute myself because I can interrupt every single thing that you say.
My favorite one was the one about like alternate movies that had Nicolas Cage in it, and halfway through the list, you told us, "Oh no, these weren't real movies. These are just like people thinking, like, what if Nicolas Cage is in this movie?" I'm like,
wasn't it entertaining nonetheless?
Like the first half was, because I'm like, "Wow, they really thought Nicolas Cage should be Forrest Gump?" I'm like, "Wow, that's terrible."
I should have just played it off the entire way through.
You should have. I would have been going to parties. Can you believe they wanted Nicolas Cage to be Forrest Gump? Randy Van Dyke told me that.
This is something that's actually a lot of fun, this list. So it does get my personal stamp of approval here.
Ooh.
All right. Number 10 on the list. The Blues Brothers dropped a freaking car in the middle of Chicago. So the scene with the Nazis in the car, in the little Pinto, that was actually practically shot. They had a helicopter fly this little Pinto up, I don't know how many, several hundred feet in the air, and dropped it for the scene. And when it hit the ground, it compacted down to like 18 inches high, and it was a spectacular crash. And they actually got permission from both the city and the FAA to do that. And that's something that in no way would anybody probably try to do practically today. It would be done all CGI.
Thanks, 9/11.
Yeah.
Thanks, Obama.
Number 9 on our list. Uh-huh. Raiders of the Lost Ark actually used 6,000 real snakes in the Well of the Souls sequence. And yeah, it's crazy. Because when they first started out, they only had like 1,000 or 2,000 real snakes, and all the rest were rubber ones, fake ones in there. And Spielberg had the camera all set up, and he's looking at it and everything. He's like,
"This looks fake.
Give me 5,000 more snakes."
I just see him picking up a phone on his director's chair. He's like, "I need more snakes.
Yeah, I need more snakes." And that was exactly how it played out. They cleared out literally every single pet store in like a ridiculous radius from where they were shooting. And there was just a bunch of harmless, ordinary pet snake type of snakes. But, I mean, you have so many of them slithering together there. Of course they're going to look scary. And there are some – there's the hero snake, the cobra, that you actually see rear up and hiss at Harrison Ford.
With this plastic box.
Yeah, well, it's like a sheet of plexiglass separating the two. You can see the reflection a little bit. I don't know if you guys have ever noticed that. Even in the Blu-ray release and the big screen re-releases and everything like that, they never completely got rid of that reflection. You see a little bit of it in that scene where Indy pops his head up and then the snake pops its head up. You see a little bit of Harrison Ford's reflection in the glass. But you got to do something to protect your star from a potentially venomous co-star.
Or planes.
Yeah, I was going to say planes.
or planes.
Do you know what they did with all those snakes afterwards?
You know,
left them to die.
I do not know the answer to that question. I would have to imagine that they were treated with the utmost care and they were all given very good homes.
I doubt it. This is fucking the 80s, dude. Animals didn't have rights. They fucking lit them on fire or covered the hole.
Well, they were snakes.
Yeah, they probably use actual gasoline in the scenes where they were spraying the gas around and lighting it up to keep the snakes back. It's probably all real. But anyway, let's not think about that. Let's think about something pretty damn badass. Number 8 on our list, the Wachowski. Wow, let's try that again. The Wachowskis built their own freeway for The Matrix Reloaded. You know that really wicked chase scene with the tops of trucks and shit going on down an empty, desolate freeway? Well, that was all built specifically for The Matrix Reloaded.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
That is a really, really wicked fight scene, too.
Is it still there?
I don't know the answer to that question. I always thought it looked kind of weird because it had those big, tall walls on the sides. You know, it wasn't like your typical freeway.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty damn cool.
But it is still there, and it is a functional set still.
Do they use it for other movies now?
It was constructed on a naval base in California. It was 2.4 kilometers long, complete with off-ramps, and a 19-foot wall.
Kilometers.
Damn. Yeah, the wall hid the city of San Francisco on the other side, so you couldn't see it.
Oh, it was here?
You just...
Apparently.
you just gave away your source being not a U.S. website.
Oh, I know, right?
Wait, no, why?
It's listverse.com, so it could have come from anywhere in the world. Kilometers instead of miles.
He said kilometers instead of miles. Yeah, ruined it.
All right, number 7 on our list. Gandhi had over 300,000 extras for one scene. And it was the funeral procession scene. And there's like this great overhead shot that just shows just an absolutely ridiculous amount of people just crowding into the streets for this funeral procession. And that is 300,000 extras, not a single bit of CG enhancement. Which, of course, at that day and age, you wouldn't have expected it. But there is absolutely no way that you would be able to do that in this day and age.
Sir Richard without CG. For you.
Exactly.
Mr. Hammond.
So big. Crazy, crazy. All right, now this one goes back a bit. Number 6 on our list. The 1927 Buster Keaton classic, The General, destroyed an antique train from the 1800s.
Oh.
They actually blew up a bridge, a full-size bridge with the train going over it, so that it could go down into the river below. And they didn't do it with models. They didn't do it with miniatures. They did it full scale. And Buster Keaton was so big on making sure that this looked real that he spent $42,000, which back in 1926 when they were shooting it was huge money. He spent $42,000 out of his own pocket to purchase this antique train just to send it off of a cliff, essentially. It's pretty crazy. That was like the Michael Bay school of filmmaking. Blow shit up.
It's the precursor to Michael Bay, Buster Keaton, and it's...
But hey, I mean, it must be still semi-relevant to be on this list, I suppose.
Yeah.
So, it's cool. It's an interesting movie fact that I didn't know.
It's not just Benny and June keeping them alive.
Number 5 on our list, Ben-Hur had one of the biggest sets of all time. And that's for the chariot race. All of that, the entire Colosseum. Not only was it just a giant set, but it was filled with tons and tons of people for this scene. 1959. Number 4, Full Metal Jacket. Stanley Kubrick recreated an entire Vietnamese town. Now, he didn't like to leave the UK to shoot. So they actually found this abandoned building. I'm trying to find out what it was. Becton Gas Works. So I don't know if it was natural gas or what, but it was this abandoned building that kind of had some Vietnamese architecture going on. It looked a little bit like it could have been in Vietnam. They dressed it up to be straight out of Vietnam for the movie, for the town in Full Metal Jacket. A lot happens in that little area, so it was cool that they were able to stay so close near outside London, I believe. That's Stanley Kubrick. We were just talking about him.
Were we?
Yeah. We were talking about Eyes Wide Shut.
Oh, that's right. I'm like, I don't remember getting angry and aggravated, so I don't remember talking about it.
Hey, guys, this is a recent movie, number 3 on our list, Inception. Did you know the big fucking train going down the middle of the street was real? It wasn't CG. It was an actual train built on a semi-truck chassis.
That's like the third train thing that you've said tonight.
Hey, what can I
you
say?
You have a train website?
Oh. We're running a train on this podcast tonight.
Yeah.
But yeah, that train, you know, and it's, again, it's one of those things. Could have been done with CG. Could have been done cheaper. Could have been done equally as convincing, I suppose. But there was something to be said about having it practically done right there on set. And it is definitely a memorable scene in the movie. Going back to another Vietnam epic, number two, Apocalypse Now. Francis Ford Coppola actually burned down a real forest in the scene that they were doing with the napalm.
Wow.
I bet that went over well.
Yep.
How did he not get in more trouble for that?
He directed or The Godfather.
He had the support of the Philippine Army.
Their
helicopters.
All
they burned several acres of they burned several acres of real jungle, and the helicopters were actually dropping gasoline on palm trees.
Wow. Yeah. Do we gasoline?
And here's a funny little anecdote to go along with that. Apparently, Coppola was severely annoyed by the fact that the helicopters they were using on screen kept flying off to fight a real war while they were trying to film. Because they were actually, they belonged to the government of the Philippines.
Oh, what an asshole, man. That's terrible. Why didn't he just go with them and just film Filipinos
real war.
Blowing up shit?
Because he needed white people in his war.
Oh.
Yeah, I suppose
that's true.
You don't want to
see Asians fighting Asians.
Yeah. That movie's crazy. Horror.
Number one on our list, The Dark Knight. Built and destroyed a hospital set. That's for the scene where the Joker's walking away and the hospital's just going splody.
Mm-hmm. I saw that was improv, like where he stands there and just keeps pressing the button to make the pressing the detonator, like it's not enough.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yep, there was no digital trickery going on in that scene whatsoever. It was all practically done on a set specifically built just for that one scene.
Mm-hmm.
And boom, that's my list this week.
No Waterworld set? They used that for too many scenes?
They used it for too many scenes, and so much of the movie took place there, and it sank. The whole little town, floating mm-hmm. town set
I was thinking to myself, the water sank. I don't get it.
No, the atoll.
Right.
I can't remember the name of the little city that it was, but yeah.
Stupid.
Dennis Hopper still hasn't recovered. I couldn't tell you a thing he's been in since Waterworld. That's how low he sank.
He died.
Wasn't he in 24?
He was in that other show, too, where Hollywood was like based off... Wasn't it like a movie first where... It's like all these lies, and it's in Hollywood or something. I forget what it was called.
Well, he died in 2010, so he hasn't done any work since then.
Wait, he died?
Waterworld was 97. That was 13 years.
Yeah, he died of cancer.
It's not like he died in, like, 98.
Crash! He was in Crash, the TV series. That's what I was
trying to say. 26 episodes of Crash.
That got 26 episodes? Fucking stars must
they
have been desperate for
programming. They made that into a TV show?
Yeah, it was bad. In the commercial, he was like in a limo, like yelling at everybody. It was dumb. You know, Viggo Mortensen was good friends with him. Kind of weird.
Mm-mm. Did not know that.
And he was not in any big movies since then. He was in one of the direct-to-video Crow sequels.
Oh, shit.
He played El Nino in The Crow, Wicked Prayer.
Shit.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know
who directed that movie.
Well, let's find out.
That's not the Rob Zombie one. No, the Rob Zombie one.
I think Whoopi Goldberg directed it.
Lance Mungia.
Wow.
That was cool.
It was her follow-up to Eddie.
Yeah. I like that one movie, The Associate. Was she in that movie? That was her, right?
Yeah.
That was funny.
I also like Eddie. Just saying.
I don't. What is that?
Someone where she ends up the coach of the Knicks.
Oh,
she's like a super fan, and she sinks like a free throw, and so she gets to like coach for like a quarter. And Dennis Foligno's like the like dick coach, and like she kind of like puts him in his place, and so they fire him and hire her. It's, you know that old tale.
I can't believe that he died, Dennis Foligno.
Yeah.
That's sad.
He was Ray Bones.
Yeah, Ray Barbone. Mr. Barbone? From Miami fucking Beach. Do you want to take me to the fucking ocean?
The fucking smog is the fucking reason we have such fucking pretty sunsets.
Beautiful.
Pretty fucking sunsets. Beautiful fucking
sunsets, yeah. Oh, my God. Get ready. Good stuff. Another Russo.
He was in Knockaround, guys, too, 2001.
Yes, he was. That movie was like a Brad Pack 20 for the 2000s.
Yeah, yeah. It tried to be, like, anyway.
Vin Diesel and shit.
And Barry Pepper, I think, might have been in it.
Barry Pepper, yep.
And Giovanni Ribisi.
Yeah, he's in everything nowadays.
Yes, he was on Pandora.
He was. He won Mining Unobtainium.
Oh my God, okay.
Somebody wrote that in a script.
I know. And I swear to God, I tried to watch Avatar last weekend, and it is not good. I remember thinking it was the greatest movie ever made, and I'm watching it again, and I'm laughing at it the whole time. It is terrible. I can appreciate the technological advancements in film, and I think that's amazing. And I'm excited that it made $1 billion, but I could not take it seriously when I watched it again the other day.
It makes you happy that it's not Academy Award winning Avatar.
It does. It does in some ways, yes. Because, I mean, at first I remember being shocked. I was like, no way. This movie is the greatest movie ever made, and I can't believe that it didn't win. And then... in the back of my mind, I thought maybe the Academy was just kind of like whatever to James Cameron because he won $1 billion for Titanic and he was like, I'm the king of the world and everything. And that was just kind of weird. But yeah, watching it again, I don't really care for it. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, it's a very forgettable movie that made $1.8 billion.
Right. Just came around at the right time, I guess.
Yeah, it did. You know, it came around kind of when Hollywood was at its lull. It had all the buzz from like the motion capture and like bringing back 3D. And you know, if we ever get to interview James Cameron, which I would love to one day, I would love to interview him sometime now in like this like 3D film culture, just to see what he thinks of this culture that basically he created. Because I have a feeling that he's not terribly happy with it, especially since everything's post-converted and, you know, from a technical standpoint, it's not true 3D. So if one of you get to interview him and I'm not there, make sure you ask that question. I would love to hear his response.
Okay. I'll say, hey, you know, your brother sells e-cigs.
They wouldn't sign a fucking form.
It's like, why did we come here?
Randy, like, taking his eye off of the camera for a second and saying, who is this asshole? Why are we talking to him? Like, that's what your eye told me. When you...
that was exactly what was going on in my head.
Yeah.
Oh, it's hilarious.
I'm like, I'm going to pretend to press the record button. You guys do your thing.
I'll we be back talked in half to that Michael Richardson guy right before him, the guy who did all the voices. He was
Yeah, funny. He was amazing.
Yeah. Holy shit. Anyway. Hilarious. That was our first Comic-Con with the three of us.
Yeah,
it was our first Geek Legacy Comic-Con.
Yes. Hot damn. That's
us three and Brad.
Long time ago. Good times.
Yeah.
That was. Wow. That was a lot of fun.
So was this podcast.
This is just as long, too.
I know, right? I think we're done. Does anybody have any last-minute shout-outs?
Nope.
Not this week. Next week.
Oh. Okay, are we good now? Because
yes.
Amanda needs to sleep.
It's time to go to bed.
Okay. Woo.
But I have to sign us out.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure we haven't signed out yet.
I'm about to.
Okay.
Damn.
I mean, I guess I don't have to be present for that part. But
that is true, you don't.
Seems kind of rude to just...
Hang up?
Leave before we're officially done.
Yeah.
Let's just talk through it.
So that was another the Geek Legacy podcast. Oh my God, people are laughing. It was fun. I had a good time. I feel like I was a little angry this episode. I don't really know why, but I was riled up.
You packed your anger issues.
Remember, to listen to our good friends, Tony Tolato over at Sci-Fi Talk and Mr. Tim Byers at the Fobleen. Fine young men. Like them a lot. We might even have some fun announcement about them in the next couple weeks here. Also, remember to visit geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews. Whilst you're there, check out the other podcasts on the Geek Legacy Network. Of course, there is the Comic Corner, hosted by Jeff and Tyler, where they review comics currently on their pull list, as well as have fun interviews, interesting giveaways, and all that sort of thing. Then you also have the Pixelated Podcast, which is hosted by Stephen K. Janes and myself. I tend to be half asleep. Oh my god, this last week I was a zombie. It was terrible. I don't know if you guys listened to it, but,
you were fine. Oh my god!
At the very beginning, I'm like, yeah.
You always are at the very beginning.
This was worse than ever. This was bad. I was asleep.
Well, Steven actually called you out for once on. He's like, oh yeah, it's a ringing endorsement.
Yeah, that's terrible. Anyway, check it out. It's one of the best out there, for real. You don't even know, but you're gonna find out. Also, like us on Facebook, because people still use that. And follow us on Twitter, because we love to tweet. It's a blast. At Geek Legacy. And you keep rocking and rolling. And you have a fun and festive week.